Guys, if you would, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we're going to finish up where we left off last week. We're going to start in verse 26 and go down to verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Now, Mr. Stephen will help you. He'll help you. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today, to go after other gods which you have not known. Now it shall be when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of the Jordan towards the setting sun in the land of the Canaanites who dwell in the plain opposite the Gilgal besides the terebinth tree near Moreh? For you will cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you, and you will possess it and dwell in it, and you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments which I set before you today. We're finishing up the list of warnings that Moses had been given the people of Israel going into the promised land. You remember there were two in chapter 7. Don't compromise with the enemy. Don't fear the enemy. There was a third warning in chapter 8, prosperity and self-satisfaction. And then the fourth warning in chapter 9 was just pride. Here in chapter 11, we're looking at the deliberate disobedience. And it's going to cost on some level. But Moses began last week, if you remember, once again pointing the people of Israel to the Lord's past blessings. Moses used the phrase, what he did, five times, in speaking of God, right? He reminds the people of Israel of God's past mercies. And guys, one way to be blessed is by remembering God's past blessings. Moses said, hey, listen up here. What did he do to Egypt and Pharaoh? What did he do to Egypt's armies? What did he do for you in the wilderness? What did he do for you in rebellion against Moses? Guys, you saw all the great acts which the Lord did. Remember who the Lord was addressing this to. He wasn't addressing it to the guy's kids. He was addressing it to the parents. And we just took a few things from that. One of them is, you know, when the Lord's addressing things to us, we need to soak that thing in. We need to take it before we ever try to apply it to someone else. Have you guys ever messed with Bondo or J.B. Weld? Okay, probably not. Okay, both of these are kind of adhering agents. J.B. Weld is good for bonding things together. Bondo is good for that's what they use in automotive to fill in dents in vehicles. Okay, and so you get it, you put it together, you put these two bonding agents, and then you apply it on there. See, sometimes that's what we do with God's Word. We're all about bondoing up someone else or J.B. and welding someone else before we have allowed that bonding agent to really work in our lives. So he's addressing the parents, and he's wanting the parents to say, hey, I want you to apply this to yourselves, but I also want you to pass this on to your children. And remember last week we left with this thought. When was the last time we sat down and just listed God's past blessings? We just listed those things and thought about them. And a good way to be blessed is to remember what God has done. And God's done wonderful things in all of our lives here. All of our lives. And why not share those things with our kids? Because our kids need to hear those things, right? You know, you guys can have so much that you're going to be able to offer your daughters. And you can, hey, you remember when this happened? And you know, the same with you guys. And then the same with me, right? So he spent the first part of the chapter just pointing to how blessed these guys were. I want you to listen to this old Puritan prayer. Thou hast placed me in the church which thy Son has purchased by his own blood. Add grace to grace that I may live worthy of my vocation. I'm a voyager across life's ocean, safe in heaven's ark. May I pass through a troubled world into the harbor of eternal rest. I'm a tree of the vineyard thou hast planted. Grant me not to be barren with worthless leaves and wild grapes. Prune me of useless branches. Water me with dews of blessing. I'm part of the Lamb's bride, the church. I mean, what do we think? I've got this book that I bought. And, you know, I've been quoting these Puritan prayers. Well, it's a book of Puritan prayers. And I'm just blown away by these guys, other than, you know, you think of their hats and you think of their goofy dress. I'm blown away by just what I'm reading in these prayers that these guys have written. I mean, when is the last time we sat down and we turned off the cell phone, we turned off the internet, we turned off the TV, we turned off the music, we just turned everything off and just remembered how good God has been. That, man, if we're in Christ today, we have this wonderful future that lays a hold of us. Chuck Smith believed that God wanted to bless him every day. Do we live like that? Man, God wants to bless me today. And we're going to talk a lot about blessing here tonight. But just think about that. Let me ask you this. Not only does God want to bless us, or even have that thought, how many of us have been blessed today? I think we've all been blessed today, right? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 2 says, and these are some of my favorite verses, "Behold the manner of love the Father's bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, we are now children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Incredible blessings. And the last part of what we looked at last week was, the Lord lays open before Israel what He has done for Israel, yes, and all that He was going to do in the land if they would do what? Just simply obey His word. That's it. See, we're not only blessed by remembering God's past blessings, we're also blessed by remembering His word. And when we remember what God has said, then should we not be doing what He had said? Verses 8 through 15, the blessing of the new land. The number one thing to note is the new land, remember, was not going to be like Egypt. Okay, in Egypt, you had to water your own land. You had to take water from the Nile and water your plants for your little dinky garden. But in this land, God was going to water it. He said He was going to keep His eye on it. It's radically different. And you know what? When we do get saved, life is radically different in Christ. Radically different in Christ. The number one thing I try to encourage folks is just give God a chance. Give Him a real chance. Give Him a real chance to bless. Give Him a real chance to change, right? And then verse 18 through 25, or 16 through 17, remember, He said, don't put trust in what grows, but put trust in the One who's making the stuff grow. And then how do we not put trust in what grows? By what? Just simply keeping at His Word. Being in God's Word, staying in God's Word. Just staying close to Him. Staying close to Him, realizing that everything that we have or we're going to have is because of God's great grace and His mercy upon our lives. I want to share something that an old country boy wrote, and I think it's pretty interesting. I live in a small rural community, and there are lots of cattle ranches around here. And every once in a while, a cow wanders off and gets lost. Ask a rancher how a cow gets lost, and chances he'll reply, well, the cow starts nibbling on a tuft of grass, and when he finishes, he looks ahead to the next tuft of green grass and starts nibbling on that one. Then he nibbles on a tuft of grass right next to the hole in the fence. Then he sees another tuft of grass on the other side of the fence, so he nibbles on that one. Then he goes off to the next tuft. Next thing you know, the cow has nibbled itself into being lost. Most people don't deliberately set out to backslide, but following their appetites or desires from one tuft to the next, they nibble themselves through the fence and off the straight and narrow path. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore we must give heed, more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. We gotta stay connected to the Lord. We stay near to Jesus by staying in His Word. We stay near to Jesus by fellowshipping with believers. We stay near to Jesus by worshiping. We stay near to Jesus by simply just communion. The sweetness of that relationship. The sweetness of that relationship. So tonight, remember, we're looking at the last warning to Israel, which is deliberate disobedience. God keeps it real simple for these guys, as we're going to see. He gives them a choice. Cursing or blessing. There are three great elements in the old covenant. There's the law, the sacrifice, and the choice. To obey and be blessed, or to disobey and be cursed. Look at verse 26 and 28 of chapter 11. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God and turn aside from the way which I command you today and go after other gods which you have not known. God keeps it so simple. I set before you. It was up to Israel if they wanted to be blessed. They should walk in obedience. And they did a pretty good job in Joshua's day in walking in obedience. Remember Joshua 24:31? Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known the works of the Lord that God had done for Israel. They did a pretty good job there. In the day of Judges, not so much. Not so much a good job. You read the book of Judges, and it's what? They're doing good, and then they start doing bad. And the Lord sends a judge to try to get them to do good again, right? And what was the thing that they would always do? They would lapse into idol worship, which is the very thing God warned them about. Matter of fact, later if you want to, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you might be interested in it. Judges chapter 2, 11 through 16. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God their Father who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They followed other gods among the gods of the people who were all around them. They bowed down to them. They provoked the Lord to anger. And you can read the rest later. Okay? David and Solomon's day, they did a pretty good job. God really blessed. Not that these guys were perfect, but when they dropped the ball, what would they do? They'd turn their heart back to the Lord. And as long as there was a king on the throne pointing the people to the Lord, they did well. Because if we look through 1 Kings, 2 Kings, we look at 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, what happens? You get a good king, what happens? Things go well. You get a bad king, and then things lapse, right? So God's keeping His word on what He's already told them before they ever get into the land. Deliberate disobedience is going to cost you. I want you to understand, I'm putting a choice before you. If you're going to be obedient to my word, I'm going to bless you. If you're going to be disobedient to my word, well then guess what? I'm going to curse you. Two things the Lord pinged me about this, and I want to share with you. First is this, and this is nothing new. These are not new things. When God says something, we can take it to the bank. It's a done deal. Just look at Israel's history. God said, hey, follow me and be blessed. Chase the idols and be cursed. Which is not being blessed, by the way. Isaiah 55:10-11. For as rain comes down and the snow from heaven, it does not return here, but the water of the earth, and make it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. If God says it, take it to the bank. Just look at Israel's history. God said, this is the deal. You can do what you want to do, but understand this. There's a curse involved in this thing. Or you can do what I ask you can do and what I'm asking you to do, and you can be incredibly blessed. The second thing, this is nothing new either. God knows if we're left to ourselves what we will chase, what we will go after. When the Lord gives us a check in our spirit, okay, when He gives us a check through His Word or a brother or sister in Christ or maybe some other way only we would understand, we need to heed that by seeking the Lord about it. You know what? Through fasting, prayer, and His Word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 2 says, but then you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. He knew that they were prone to idol worship. That's why He went through all the trouble of saying what? You need to rip down all the idols. You need to do away with all the idol worship in the land. You are prone to that. If you get away from my word, if you get away from what I'm telling you, you know what you're going to do? You're going to chase after other gods that you did not know. God is very keen on... How well do you know your kids? How well do you know your daughters, Tricia? You know their tendencies, right? Because you watch these kids. You watch them grow up, right? You know their tendencies. And we act like when God says and gives us a check, oh, you don't know me that well. Well, yes, He does. Okay, we can take those two things. Now, let's look at verse 29 through 32, which is a real encouragement. Now, it shall be when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go in to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. And are they not on the other side of the Jordan towards the setting sun, the land of the Canaanites that dwell on the plain opposite of Gilgal beside the terebinth trees? For you will cross over the Jordan, and go and possess the land which the Lord your God has given you, and you will possess it and dwell in it, and you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments which I set before you today. God is good. He gives these guys a huge billboard to remember the choice. The blessing of Gerizim and the curse of Ebal, which is detailed later on. And here's just a peek, okay? Gerizim means fruitful harvest, or it's associated with that. Ebal is associated with barrenness. Listen to what John Corson has said. And I think he said it so wonderfully. I want to share it with you. In Joshua chapter 8, we see half the tribes of the children of Israel on Mount Gerizim and the other half on Ebal, with Joshua and the priests and the Levites in the valley below. So just kind of get this, kind of an amphitheater setting. You got one group here, you got one group there, and you have these right here, right? Joshua will say a certain commandment to which is attached a blessing, and the tribes at Mount Gerizim will say, Amen. Then he will give a command with a curse, something which they're not to do, and those on Mount Ebal will also say Amen. And in doing so, the nation of Israel will acknowledge that if they obey God, they shall put the blessing of Gerizim. It was on Ebal that the sacrifice was to be made. I love this because where there are curses, an altar is made to make provision. I'm so glad about that because I've been on both sides of the valley. I've experienced the blessings of Gerizim, but I've also wandered over Ebal. Thus, I'm grateful for the altar, the provision for my sin and stupidity. See, guys, when we get into Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28, we'll see what Corson's talking about, which brings us to where we're at. And it's very important for us to hear this. Because you know what? I pray that we're not weighing, okay, am I going to get cursed? Okay, because understand this. We live with a choice, but we're not under a choice. And here's what I mean. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. The law brings a curse. Listen. For as many are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law and do them. But that no one is justified by the law in sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We don't live in the old covenant relationship with God. We live in the new covenant because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should expect to get blessed, not because of our obedience. Now, we do get blessed for being obedient. Okay, but let's don't expect obedience because of that. Rather, because of our position in Christ. We're blessed. We're blessed. Matter of fact, Ephesians 1:3, and I shared it several times, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. The curse we deserve was laid upon Jesus. There are consequences for our disobedience, for sure. God does correct under His correcting hand in view of the New Testament covenant. Hebrews 12, verse 3 through 11, the discipline of God. It says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when he's rebuked by him. We all know that he disciplines his children, but he doesn't curse his children. See, we all deserved, past, present, and future. But understand, in Christ, our past, present, and future was all poured out upon our Lord Jesus on the cross, our sins. We're not under a curse if we're in Christ. See, we're not living in the Old Testament. We're living in the New Testament. We're not living where the people of Israel were living. It's like, okay, I put this choice before you. Here's the choice. You either do this and you're going to be blessed, or you don't do this and you're going to be cursed. Now, understand this. We're given a choice, aren't we? The gospel's a choice. Because if we don't choose the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens? Bad news. But in choosing Christ and asking the Lord to come into our lives, into our hearts, by getting saved, man, we have a wonderful position in Christ. Now, we all know if we're obedient to what God tells us to do, we're going to be blessed. But also understand this. We are blessed because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed. 1 John 4, verse 8 through 10. He who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. Propitiation has the idea of a sacrifice that turns away the wrath of God. God rightly regarded us, apart from Him, worthy targets of His judgment. We were rebels and enemies to Him, even if we didn't know it. But on the cross, Jesus took the punishment of our sin deserved. His sacrifice turned away the judgment we had received. We easily think how this shows the love of Jesus, but John wants us to understand also it shows the love of God the Father. He loved us and He sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. We're blessed because of Jesus. We're not under a curse because of Jesus. We're incredibly blessed. And here's what the Lord wanted me just to do tonight, just to finish. And, you know, we're going short tonight, and I understand why now. Just by remembering Calvary, the hill God has placed for us to remember, there's only one choice. Our Lord Jesus made a choice so that we could choose life. And I'm just going to read through the Gospel of Mark, just 21 through 30 of chapter 15, okay? Because I believe that's what the Lord wants us to do tonight, is simply just reflect back on the hill of Calvary, where we were given this incredible opportunity in Jesus, that we don't have to be under a curse. We don't have to be separated from Christ. We have been given eternal life in Christ. And I pray that it ignites a fire in all of our hearts, this incredible gift that God's given us. You know, we live in an area of the country where people are, I believe, are bored with the gospel message. I think to some extent, maybe the body of Christ in the Bible Belt is bored. That they it's like we've forgotten this incredible gift we've been given. Man, if anybody in this room, can you imagine what it would be like to be on death row, okay, in just a little bitty cage, knowing at this date you were going to be executed, okay? You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. They come on the day and they ask you, this is your last meal. What do you want for your last meal? What would you have for your last meal, by the way? Lasagna? Carl, what'd you have? Fried chicken, French fries. Yeah, you got a heart condition. It doesn't matter at that point. Steve, what would be your last meal?
Lobster.
Okay, Tricia? Lobster? I don't know. I'm thinking fried fish, hush puppies, French fries, some coleslaw, and a big sweet tea. I don't really drink it anymore, but at this point it doesn't really. What would you be? That's simple. Okay, you finish your meal. You look at your watch. You got an hour before you have to walk down there. Just let those emotions kind of just work a little bit and think about it. Use your imagination what that would be like. You know that it's about to be over. Okay? You hear them walking. They're coming down. They're coming down to get you, to take you down there. But they stop and say, hey, guess what? We're letting you go. You've been reprieved. You're given life. Not only that, we're letting you go, and we're giving you $100,000 to set you up your life. And we're going to provide a job. And we're going to give you a house. Okay? That's life in Christ. It's bigger than that, though, isn't it? We don't think about this just for a moment. We don't think about this. We were all dead people walking. We were all under a curse apart from Christ. But if the Lord's opened our eyes and unstopped our ears, we've been given an incredible life. We've been given an incredible life. Then as they compelled a certain man, Simeon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by to bear his cross, And he brought him to the place of Golgotha, I can't pronounce it right now, which is translated place of the skull. And they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him, and the inscription of the accusation was written, and him also crucified above him, and they also crucified two robbers, one to the right and one to the left. So the scripture were fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with transgressors. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, you who destroy the temple, build it in 3 days. Save yourself. Come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priest also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend down from the cross that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified reviled him. And now in the sixth hour it had come, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by, when they heard that, said, look, he's calling for Elijah. And then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come down to take him down. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, breathed his last. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion, who stood opposite him, saw that he cried out like this, he breathed his last, he truly is the Son of God. John 3, verse 14, and as Moses, the serpent, in the wilderness lifted up, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son in the world to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. God's still in the business of choice, friends. God chose to send his only Son, Jesus. Jesus chose to go to the cross. And when we put these two things together, we get this, God's choice plan, which is to bless us in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as his sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Don't let one day go by without meditating on the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, he's made it very clear and he's made it very plain that, you know what, I set a choice before you today. Choose life. Choose Jesus. Now, praise God, we don't live in the Old Testament. Okay? We don't live in the Old Testament. But praise God that, you know what, even in the Old Testament, what, the place of the Ebal, the place of barrenness, the place where you know what, God meets us there in that place. And he provides a sacrifice in that place. So guess what? So we can be blessed. So we can be blessed. Because you look at Israel's history. Once they got right with the Lord, what happened? He blessed. And that's all he wanted to do. Now I want to ask you a question. As a parent, how irresponsible would it be to allow my son to walk around with a steel fork and stick it in a 110 outlet? That would be very irresponsible. Now I might let my brother do that when I was younger. No, I'm kidding, I wouldn't do that. But as a parent, what am I going to do when I see him do that? I'm going to get his attention. It's like, man, you can't do that, dude. you're going to get yourself hurt real bad. You know, those are actually some of the most dangerous outlets because they don't you can't let go once you get shocked. It's not like something like a 220 where it'll throw you back. You get locked into that thing. You get electrocuted. God is so gracious to get our attention. You were talking about listening to Vernon McGee and was talking about predestination, and he was saying what? Well, it'd be nice if God put a yellow stripe down someone's back, and I just look up under their shirt, and oh, you're predestined to get saved. He said, no, he didn't do that, right? So we just share the good news. We just share the good news. What, you get saved, then guess what happens? Well, you're predestined, right? To go what? To get blessed. We don't worry about that stuff. We just share the good news. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you guys a question. If you've given God a chance, has He not been faithful? Everyone can say, yes, He has. What a blessing that, you know what? Who's dropped the ball today? Oh, man. Yeah. Man, I've got a 3-year-old. You know I've dropped the ball. But God has not dropped the ball. Because of the Lord Jesus. We're blessed because of Jesus. The curse that should have been on us was put on Jesus. Our propitiation. So as we're going to close tonight, man, let's just be thankful. Let's just be thankful. If we're saved here tonight, we know if we're saved. And you know what? We know it if we're not saved. If we'd never really asked the Lord to come into our hearts, we know that. And maybe that's what the Lord is doing. Knocking. Saying, can I come in? Simple to get saved. It's easier than buying a car. We just ask the Lord to come in. Hey, Lord, I just want you to come in my heart. I just want you to come in my heart, Jesus. I believe you're the one and only Son. I got a sin problem, Lord. There's nothing I can do about it. I want you to come and live in my heart. I want you to come and live in my heart. I want you to come and live in my heart. I want you to come and live in my heart.